This morning, I'd like to talk to us about another tool of ministry that equips communities of faith as well as individuals. And this tool is one that reflects not so much the hands and feet of Christ, but I believe the heart and mind of Christ. This tool is the ministry of affirmation. Now, we all know the significance of parents affirming their children. Studies show that children who are affirmed are equipped to rise above circumstances and develop into contributing and well-adjusted adults. Now, affirming one's child can be simple. But let me be honest. The ministry of affirmation, it would challenge us, all of us, to look past what psychologists call confirmational bias, which means looking past how we look through at the world through the lens that only bring us comfort, happiness, and security of one's self-image. Now, there's an Old Testament, an account in Scriptures that I think provides a great example of this. It is the story between David and Jonathan. So, many of you may remember that Jonathan was the son of King Saul, and he was the direct heir to the throne of Israel. But his best friend was the young David, who was praised by the people for his bravery. Now, Jonathan had everything to lose by David becoming king. Yet we never read one place in Scripture where Jonathan was jealous nor had resentment toward his young friend. What we do see in Scripture is Jonathan affirming this young man. Now, you may ask, well, how did he affirm him, preacher? Well, let me tell you. My answer is this. The fact that Jonathan was willing to give up his entitlement for the will of God to be done. You see, even though David and Jonathan had hugely different backgrounds, because Jonathan was the prince of Israel, we'd call him privileged, and David was just a poor shepherd boy, we'd call him unprivileged, Jonathan was able to see the hand of God at work in David's life. So what I love about this man's example, meaning Jonathan, was his ability to be an affirming friend to David and yet remain loyal to his father, Saul, who was the king. And the irony in that is that Saul had not only wanted to kill Jonathan at one time, but he wanted to kill David all the way up until his own demise. But 2 Samuel 1:23 says that Jonathan remained undivided from his dad and his friend even until their death. If you've never read that story, I invite you to open your Bibles up to 1 Samuel chapter 20 and begin to explore those scriptures. It is a marvelous story. Now, the reason I share this account is in hopes to help us to dissect the tool of ministry for its proper application. So let me continue in this vein. You see, the word affirm comes from the Latin word that means to strengthen. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear the word affirmation, my initial thoughts aren't about strength. My initial thoughts are about those self-affirmation phrases that are used to promote self-esteem and to promote self-awareness about the positive qualities within a person. And for those of us who have journeyed through recovery programs, we know that when you work step four, that is what we call searching and fearless moral inventory, acknowledging those positive qualities and affirming them is vital for recovery. But today, when we talk about the ministry of affirmation, I want you and I to know that this is about not only affirming yourself, but much more, about affirming others with our words and actions so that they may live into their fullest potential of Christ, their fullest potential for the kingdom. And there's a very more common passage of Scriptures that I think highlights this in an exceptional way that I want us to look at today. Now, it's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. And let me give you a little bit of context to those scriptures before we look at a few of them. You know, if you remember, this is the story where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And he's beginning there, at the beginning of the scriptures, he is having a farewell meal with his close friends. But prior to the meal, these 12 have already pitted one another against themselves because they've been arguing about who is the greatest among them. Well, if you've got your Bibles open, friends, you already know that it says the first couple of verses that Christ expresses his love for those in the world to the fullest extent. He does this not only to express his love for the disciples, but for the ones that the disciples would be ministering to. And that's our first example of affirmation within the scriptures. Now, a few verses down tell us that the devil has already prompted Judas to betray Christ, and yet Jesus continues on with the foot-washing ceremony. And then last but not least, we see as Jesus begins this practice of the ministry of affirmation, that Peter refuses it until Jesus gives him an ultimatum. And that's where we're going to pick up. We're only going to look at five verses this morning, starting in verse 12. So, Dave, would you please put our verses on the screen behind us and for those on the TV, and I ask that you join me in reading those verses. Verse 12 says, "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place," meaning Jesus, "and he said, 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' 13 says, 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him.'" And verse 17 concludes saying, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." It is our tradition here at Green Forest United Methodist Church to conclude each scriptural reading with the word saying, "This is the word of God for the people of God," and all present respond saying, "Thanks be to God." Would you pray with me, please? Oh Lord, we come this morning, and we ask, Lord, that you help us to understand how our lives can contribute to the ministry of Jesus Christ in the simplest of forms. So may your Spirit speak to each of us this morning as we look at your word, equipping, encouraging all to practice this ministry, the ministry of affirmation, so that each person that we come in contact with, each person we love, each person we worship with will reach their full potential for your kingdom. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I come across a funny illustration I wanted to share with you that I thought helped set the tone for the rest of our sermon time. This goes like this. A young man showed up a little early for his date, and when his girlfriend answered the door, her hair was teased in 100 different directions. So to take the awkwardness out of the situation, she asked him, "Hey, what do you think of my hair?" And the boy hesitated and then responded, saying, "It looks like it's about to become something wonderful." Now, I share that story, friends, because Christians need to see beyond the mess people are in and see what they can become in Christ Jesus. I mean, I believe that's exactly what Jesus did in our scriptures this morning. Remember, the word affirm means to strengthen or to confirm. And through Jesus' actions, the disciples were equipped to live out the calling that was placed upon their lives. So, as I looked at these passages of scriptures, I was reminded last week of what our basic tenets were for our faith. Do you remember? There was three of them. Number one, everyone's made in the image of God. Number two, we're to love God and our neighbor. And number three, we are to have love guide our motives for action. Now, with love as our motivator, church, We should be used of the Lord to strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ, to strengthen the connection between God and humanity. For that's exactly the example that I see that Jesus set before us in the foot washing ceremony. You see, Jesus, in his practice of the ministry of affirmation, on the night which he practiced this, we see that 11 of the 12 were moved. They were moved from their present mindset of being self-centered focused to being having a mindset of other-centered focus. Christ's continual ministry of affirmation to these 12 equipped them to become the God-centered in all of their motivation and empowered them to lead and serve. So for me, this ministry of affirmation is twofold. It challenges Michael Bolin to see the positive in other people, even people that I don't necessarily care for or get along with. And number two, it helps me to be intentional about empowering another so that they can rise above the circumstances of life and minister to the world. Now, I want to warn you, those of you here, and I want to warn those of you who are watching from home. This practice of ministry, the practice of ministry of affirmation, is not easy. And if I can just be honest and transparent with you this morning, I do not know if I could have mustered the words to say, I love you, to the man I knew who was fixing to put a knife in my back. Much less do I think I would have been able to do a Christian action in hopes that he would not only see the value in himself, but the value that I see in him as well. Yet, that's exactly what Jesus did when he washed Judas's feet. Now, I know that we may be tempted to concentrate solely on Judas's actions from this timeline until his demise. But I would challenge us not to overlook how the affirming words and actions of Christ produced positive results in the other 11, even after they had denied him and deserted him. I mean, let me ask you, friends, what do you think would have happened if Jesus would have responded with negative affirmations or negative undertones or language? I'd be willing to bet that they wouldn't be the 11 guys that we look to today for encouragement, the 11 guys we look to learn what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You see, the ministry of affirmation can never be underestimated. It was a tool, a ministry tool used by the Apostle Paul throughout all of his writings. It was practiced in the early church in the book of Acts, which was bountiful in making disciples of Christ. And I'll even go as far to say the degree with which you and I embrace this ministry of affirmation will determine the success or the defeats of this local church. And let me say for you at home, I'll say the same thing. To the degree with which you embrace the ministry of affirmation will determine the success and or defeats of the local church that you worship. There's an old saying that goes, if the only tool one has is a hammer, then we treat everything as if it is a nail. You see, friends, I believe our world is already filled with folks whose only tool is a hammer. What our communities need, in my opinion, is for the body of Christ to re-engage in the ministry of affirmation. People need to be reminded that God can and is their friend. Can be and is their friend. People need to be reminded that regardless of where you stand on any issues, they are especially important to the church. People need to be reminded that God created you because you're important Him. People need to be reminded that their brokenness and sin have already been paid for by the cross of Calvary. People need to be affirmed in the truth that God lives in each of us and He has a plan for us, a plan for our life, even when we cannot see it. So I want to close this morning, as I do almost every Sunday, with just a couple of pondering questions for you to think about. Question number one. How long has it been since you practiced the ministry of affirmation? Question number two. With whom can you use the tool of affirmation to make a difference in their lives? I pray, friends, that through our time together this morning, we've been able to see from the examples of Jesus that when you and I practice the ministry of affirmation with our words and our actions, we go beyond the present into the creation of future possibilities. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.